Hear the word of God a lot. Surround yourself with a lot of scripture, sound doctrine. It will polish your prophetic gifting. According to your faith. If it is serving, let him serve. So you have a gift of service. Then place yourself where service is needed. You can't stay in your room and say, actually me, my gifting is service. Clown. Serving your big head. Your gift is service and you stay in your room all the time. What kind of gift is that? That's like saying I'm a teacher, but I stay at home. A teacher better have a class. So service better have people that need to be served. So you better take yourself to where people that need to be served are and serve. That's a gifting. These are the seven gifts for the people of God. This is different from the ministry gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is Romans 12. The spiritual gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are the gifts that are used in ministry. Word of knowledge. I'm praying for someone and I don't know what to pray about. And I'm getting this information that helps me pray or tell you something. I couldn't know. Gift of word of knowledge. The gift of prophecy. You saw it when the brother was just prophesying not long ago. And he's having a bubbling thought. The word implies a prophetess in the Greek and a nabi in the Hebrew. It speaks of like a pipe that water is doing, gushing. That's why sometimes you hear people with the gifts of prophecy and hear them, la, 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 and you wonder, can they behave themselves? Even they don't understand. But if they knew their Bible and their Hebrew and Greek, they would know that it's literally as though there's something like water. And sometimes when it is a strong, I'm not, now you want to hear about prophetic ministry. I think we had something in May, the prophetic conclave. June, July. So go get the series on YouTube, prophetic conclave. I thought about this. When I was kneeling down this morning and I got these things and wrote it down, you know, I wrote down 6 days of apostolic, I want that visitation, I changed it to education, you know, and I wrote, just all this was coming. And I went like, now should I take this and give to our prophetic teams to pray about? And, but where's the time? Because from what I'm getting, starting today, I went like, well, it's okay. What's the worst thing that can happen? People might be in God's presence too long, which is good. But, then I went like, God, yeah, please still send me the confirmation. You know, and then shortly just before I came here, I saw a message from someone. The person sent me a message from July and said, after the prophets will come the apostles. It's from July. And now the person had sent it to where we drop prophetic words, you know, and I was like, wow. So I have my confirmation. I had asked. And the Lord is faithful to do that. You know. So we had that meeting on prophetic ministry in June, July. And here we are in December having a meeting on apostolic ministry. Take it absolutely seriously. Absolutely. Have I spoken about apostolic ministry in the past? Yes, absolutely. I have. Many times I've explained some things about prophetic ministry. The advantage of having a teaching gift is that the Lord tells you things about all sorts of things. It's because a teacher, the one person you don't tell, you can't talk about something, is a teacher, because teachers are supposed to know. So the way the gifting of it works is that things are opened up to you. You know, the spirit of wisdom and understanding often stands by you. And that's what brings light. He unfolds things to you. For many of you that are unaware, Paul's primary gifting was as a teacher of the Gentiles. He says it not once. And you're like, no, but he was an apostle. Yeah, because you don't even really understand what an apostle is. When the brother was prophesying, he said it. An apostle is a sent one. The Greek apostolos, the one they send. Send with what? Send with whatever you already are now. The apostolos just means you go. A sent one. You know how they take someone and make an ambassador. And before that, he was a lecturer in the university. Good, that's an apostle. You're picked up with whatever you already have. And they send you. The difference between an apostle and another person. So Paul is a sent teacher and preacher. I am not a sent out preacher teacher. I'm a pastor, so I stay with my flock. I've not been sent out. I may have been sent out in the sense that I was sent out from what I was doing or whatever to this place. But just the length of time I've even stayed, you know. Doesn't mean tomorrow I may not be sent somewhere. That's the point I'm explaining. If you look at Apostle Romeo Sai, he has a teaching gift in grace, and of course, because of his past training and all that, and preparation and all that. But now he was sent out. So he's sent up and down. So he goes with his gift, his packaging. And you hear him talk about how there's a season where he was growing prophetic gifting. He was teaching, then prophetic, and then intercession, all that. So all is that bundle that is now thrown out. It is what is here. So someone can be an apostle and he doesn't have certain things in the bundle. Doesn't mean he's not sent. In the book of Revelations, chapter 2, the Ephesian church is told, and this is important, I've explained it before. The Ephesian church is told when the Lord is commending them. I know your deeds in verse 2, your labor and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate those who are evil. Read with me. And you have tested and exposed as liars those who falsely claim to be apostles. Question. If someone is to tell you today that a church can test someone who claims to be an apostle, you say, who are you? Because there's this extremely ignorant body. There's so much lack of understanding in the body of Christ. So much. It's very bad. I'm not even playing. Who are you to speak? Don't you know him is an apostle? Him is a teacher. An apostle and a teacher. How can you talk when an apostle has spoken? That's the kind of nonsense people believe in. You are upside down. Look here. Who are the people that tested and called a liar a so-called apostle? A church. They didn't even say the leader. A church. They're telling a church. The church. They tested. Check, you know. Have you used the reagent? Which solution? What do you notice? Yunko? People. Family meeting. We've decided that guy is not. God did not send him. God not send him. Oga, as a church, we reject your. We cannot. God didn't send you here. Sorry. You need transfer money. Shoo. This happened. Look at it there. They tested and they're liars. Now, I explained years and years. I've explained this. It doesn't mean they are not servants of God. Listen. It doesn't mean they are unbelievers. It doesn't mean they don't have the Spirit of God. It doesn't mean they are not. That person is not a preacher. It doesn't mean he's not a teacher. It doesn't mean he's not an evangelist. It doesn't mean he's not whatever he is. It just means that God did not send them. Oh. They got up and started moving. Because they look. Do you see how the other man is traveling? Look at Pastor Romo saying now. Traveling everywhere. Look at now. Does he know more than you? Say it's true. So you start boosting your profile. You start attending meetings, greetings. Say, man of God, I'd like to see you after the meeting. My name is Pastor Itao. No? A pleasure. After that, we see in the office. Yeah, I just, you know how you're speaking. You drop four Greek words. Bah, bah, bah. You line them up like this. You pull out of a basket of 10,000 rema, you drop three. Bah, bah, bah. Then, man of God, could you share in our... Say platform. This is the problem. Who sent you? You sent yourself. That's what makes you a liar. and you are not an apostle in that sense. Do you understand the point? It's not sometimes we over, when some, the Bible says someone in 1 John 4, the prophet John the apostle says, beloved, test the spirits. Don't believe every spirit, but test it to see whether they are from God. Then he didn't say, for many false spirits have gone into the world. He said, many false prophets. What made them a false prophet? A beloved is a child of God, to whom a spirit came and whispered. And he didn't test. And he got up and went and delivered it. The problem is that the spirit that told you what you said was not of God. So you have become a false prophet. Not because you're a juju prophet, not because you're fake, a quack, but because the message you brought did not come from heaven. So he's not a false prophet in the sense that he's a white garment, mommy water, marine spirit, powered. No. He's a normal child. He may be a real prophet of God, but because he did not test the message, it is the delivery of the message. He said, look at it there. Many have gone out into the world. Many, not a few. If this was happening when the apostles were still alive, what do you think is happening now? What do you think is happening now? It is why I'm not even playing with any preacher that goes around telling God's people, shh, don't speak, don't speak. If the fathers don't speak, don't speak. They have killed everybody. See. Oh, Jesus. The darkness that has come on the church already because of such falsehoods. And the future darkness, the number of people that would have swallowed an elephant of error before they realize that their stomach has exploded. It will be too late. Because when you should have been testing spirits, testing apostles, testing everything God says, test. Someone else told you, don't ever test. So you ignored the scripture, clear, very clear English. Look at that, very clear, test. If none of this works for you, 1 Thessalonians 5 said, test all things and hold fast to what is good in verse 21. All. You were told to test all things. And then you concluded, that means when you go to the market, test it. It doesn't mean in church. It exactly means in church. Start from verse 16. Start from verse 16. Rejoice at all times. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay? If someone says you should give thanks, it's okay. Don't say, how can it be God's will for us to give thanks now? No. In all things. Verse 19. Do not quench, extinguish, put out, delete, end the move of the Spirit. The Spirit is moving. Don't off it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. God is a God of order. Praise God. That's how they quenched him in those churches you call old denominational churches. That's how they quenched him everywhere. If you read the history of churches, if you know what was happening in all these groups, your grandparents and parents may have attended. If you know how they began, if you know. They were like us. They were like every church when they start newly. Almost all of them go through the same process. It's like a principle. Why? They learn nothing from the past. They refuse to learn anything. I am not saying as a church matures, some things don't, but once you come to the place when you're like, please, that's not what we came for. Tell him to keep it. Tell him to hold it. Don't worry. You now form, you say, listen, in our meetings, we won't have time for prophecy. We not here. And all this falling and shouting. Who is that? Remove them immediately. Remove them. In Jesus' meeting, they used to be screaming and shouting. Who are you? So you now you're so given to order because there's 4 millionaires. They mostly sit together around this side. And you see them when they were screaming. When you were small, it didn't matter. You didn't feel it. As the glory is moving, you go, yes, so, oh, la, 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 you join. But as you came to a place where they've been giving offering that you can buy a fine suit. When you stand, hallelujah. Amen. 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 Why? Because the way those people are looking, look like they might stop coming to this church. And if you observe that the man's last offering was about 10 million, that's not the kind of member you lose because of how uncomfortable he looks. You saw him leaning and whispering to the other. So you quench the spirit all over the world. This has happened. Might sound funny, but all over the world, this has happened. This is how they kick God out of his church. Till Jesus in Revelation 3 standing outside the door of his church and knocking. Say, if any man hears and opens to me, I'll come in and dine. Do you know what happens when Jesus dines with you? Have you read John 13? Have you read the book of Luke 24? Do you know what happens? When Jesus dines with you, your eyes open. Oh, when Jesus dines with you, you get cleaned up. When Jesus dines with you, when Jesus says he will dine with you and you with him, this is not normal dining. When he took the bread just to pray and say, Lord, we thank you for this food, miracles happen. You start seeing things. Your heart begins to burn within you. That's how you know the Lord has been with you to dine. When the heart stops burning, know that the Lord is gone. When the heart stops burning, the Lord is gone. When the Lord has come and dined with you, it's followed up by people moving. Even in the middle of darkness, they stand up. They don't care. Off they move. A fire begins to burn in your bones when you have met the Lord. How you know that the Lord is no more there? Look at that place. Look at that gathering. Is there any moving? Do people move? Do they go? Are they given to outreach? Is their heart burning? Do they feel like sharing? They are not dining. Why are they not dining? They've closed the door, shut him out. Is he knocking? He probably used to 40 years ago. Some, he stopped knocking a very long time ago. And they, instead of them stopping the meetings, they kept meeting all over the world. He's out of that, they start saying a living church. That's a church that things are moving still. But with time, those living churches oftentimes become like the other because they want to control. So he says, don't extinguish. It usually starts with extinguishing the spirit. The spirit begins to bubble up and they say, wrench, spanner, they seal it. In our congregation, why there are so many people with prophetic giftings? So many. It's because I did not quench the spirit. I refuse to quench the spirit. That's why we used to have meetings for long periods, long hours. I'm not talking about now that we may have two services. So you say one service to this, the second one to this. No, one meeting. It'll be one meeting. It could last long because anything could be happening for 2 to 3 hours. And I start giving a sermon later on. I refuse to quench the spirit. And I just thank God there were no more older people. It's very uncomfortable when there are older people in there. God is me, because they'll come and say, Pastor, God bless you. Well done. I appreciate what you're doing. But some, the first day they came, they're already giving counsel, which tells me all I need to know about them. The mere fact that you came to a place, you didn't even stay for 1 month before saying anything. The first day you came, I need help. I heard if I come here, my son has problems. See, that once they leave, they don't come back. Why? God is delivering his servant. And I prayed in the early days. I said, Lord, please keep away the older people. Pride. You can't humble yourself. You want God wrapped in foil. The living God. God deliberately causes... Okay, I said it the other day. He offends your mind to test your heart. That's how someone said it. He purposely does it to see. Are you offended enough? If you know me, you know I've never fallen in my life under anointing or anything. Like, I am Gidigba. If you think you are present, I am more present than you. Whatever you think about, no. You know all this Nyanganyanga church. No, I am. It's part of the gifting of a teacher. Nothing they shake us. Nothing shakes us. Nothing shakes us. So I don't shake. I don't fall. I don't quake. When the power of God is moving, you see the power of God moving everywhere. My hand is not burning. I'm not seeing visions everywhere. No, none of that is happening. When I open my mouth and say there's someone here, this is happening. It's not the way you think. My gift package does not work like a typical prophetic person. I may lay hands on you and you scream and shout and somersault and roll. But you can't lay hands on me and scream and somersault and roll. It's not going to happen. I'm present, even when I'm in the spirit, very far gone. So when I'm saying the things that the prophetic people are seeing, I'm seeing it with the eyes of my heart. I'm not seeing it how they see it. They see, some of them see it so clear. Some is more real than these things, the physical. Some of them are so deep in it. You're busy saying, can't you control yourself, to somebody whose reality, what they are seeing is more real than you standing here. They are not even seeing you. Now, if you don't know those things, you are there busy judging. I say, why are you screaming? Can't you maintain? Some of them, if you want them to stop screaming, you have to slap them, bring them back, because they are not here. I've mentioned one of our sisters. Years ago, we were praying for a young man that came, some cultist fellow. We didn't know. First time he walked in and I laid hands on him, the power of God came on him, warehouse, and he was shaking under the power, falling. They had, I think, they trying to hold him up. All that. But after the meeting, we realized, you know, the things we picked. First timer, you know, spirit of death. We see people trying to kill him, pursuing him to his house. So when we took him aside after the meeting, just like we do for our first timer still today, and he said yes, actually, that he's into cultism and that he ran away from his house, I don't know, a day or two before. He just, all we had told him was happening to him, actually. All that, and he was sick with some fatal, some deadly thing that can kill him. His lungs were, he was in a bad state. Now, he doesn't look it. Looked like a yuppie guy, you know, and all that, but he was a mess inside and outside. So life was a mess. But when we were praying, one of our sisters here, she fell on the ground, was shaking and screaming. And it was so bad. And later on, when we asked what was happening, she was in his coffin. So you're seeing yourself in a coffin for real. Real coffin. Are you going to be like... Is that what you do? But you are not seeing it. You are seeing her on the ground. You are sitting, and she was sitting on a chair. You are praying, and then she falls on the ground. And it's hyperventilating. It's just in a hot, because that's the prophetic gifting at work. Don't just reach in there. Bah! Stop it. In the house of God, everything should be done decently and in order. See a vision decently. See it in order. You don't even know what that scripture means. Things are to be done decently and in taxes. In taxes means order. The root word tasso, from which you have tagma in 1 Corinthians 15, from which you have taxi, is all from the same root word. All of them mean to arrange things in order, in sequence. So if we say everybody, like when we are praising God, to do everything in order means when we're praising God, jumping, praising, worshiping, you're supposed to do the same thing. When we stop it and say, sit down, that's not the time for you to be jumping. Now you are out of order. Do you know how people explain order? They say it means to be dead. That's not what it means. The word means to stand in line like a troop, like soldiers, to be sequential. That's what the word means. It doesn't mean what you feel. It means what it said. The Bible says, do not extinguish the spirit. Don't quench the spirit. When it's time for the spirit to speak, don't stop it. Why did Saul's men fall under the power of God? Because David runs to Samuel. Saul is trying to kill David. David runs to Samuel. Samuel, correct man. Man of God. He is surrounded by the school of prophets, the company of prophets. Hey, Lebedeka. Hey, Rubaraba. They are prophesying. You guys keep thinking, you keep saying New Testament, New Testament. I've told you it's the same God. Oh, Jesus. They are all there. Randabaka shitolaba. The Most High God. They are receiving. They are declaring. They are speaking mysteries unto their God. And Saul sends soldiers. The soldiers come. Brum, 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 brum. Then they enter the radius of where you should not cross. You know, there are soldiers and there are soldiers. They are human soldiers and they are the other soldiers. You remember once they opened the eyes of someone's servant to see. The guy came out, hey, whoa, master, hey. His master like, calm down, what's your problem? Receive it. Bah. The guy said, horses. There was a whole army. So this nonsense army of how, who knows how many, were around Elijah. And he went, the guy was calm. You don't even hear about him talking again. Instantly calm because there's levels. Now these soldiers of Saul in 1 Samuel 19 showed up. When they saw the group of prophets prophesying with Samuel leading them, the Spirit of God came upon them. And Saul's messengers also began to prophesy. This happened 4 times. What evidence do you want? The last one, Saul went. He was the 4th. What nonsense. Where are the people we sent? They said, King, they have not come back. The second batch, they didn't come back. The third, what madness. Give me my... Who is your mate? You are a king, civil authority. Samuel is a prophet, spiritual authority. You are in his space. You are in his space. You're in his space. You're in his space. Different rules here. Jesus told Pilate, don't you know I have power? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. That's why you have any power. And by the way, that power came from upstairs. In other words, the council I sit on, that we decided, should I tell you about your birth? Let's not go there. We decided you would be in charge. That's also, enjoy it while it lasts. It was signed and permitted. Your file was stamped. It's not here. He didn't go in too deep. Because from the moment he talked small, all Pilate wanted to do is free him. All, he tried his best. A man that could enter the temple and kill people while they're offering sacrifice, tried his best, was saying things like, I don't have hand, no, bring water, basin, let me wash, I don't have hand, no, I don't have, he tried, till they threatened his idol, his political career. And he, why you shouldn't have idols? Because he won't let you think. How to control a human being? Give him an idol. That's all. Easiest way to control anybody, give them an idol. Have a dream to sing on stage with. They say, I have a dream to aspire. There's, a person with an idol. Don't waste your time with a person with an idol. It won't work. Idolatry. Horrible thing. You'll be wondering, why is it so hard? The guy has an idol. He had an idol. That's why he would have freed Jesus. Thank God he had an idol. Some people need to have an idol. You may assist you and spoil God's plan. Saul came under the sphere. Jesus pointed out that there are spheres, though. If I was of this world, this cosmos, my messengers, my servants would fight. Not that they couldn't steal. I mean, he had told Peter, don't you know I can ask? This realm can't affect them. Their realm can affect us. It's an overriding realm. It's way bigger. It's also why it's very sad when those who have the realm of heaven yield and bow to the realm of earth. It's very ridiculous. We are meant to test things. He said, don't quench the spirit. Rather, what should you do? Verse 20, after verse 19. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test all things. Hold fast to what is good. from verse 19 to 21 is one thought. Don't read your Bible in fragments. You'll not understand it. 19 to 21 is one thought. So illustration. Rabba, rabba, rabba. She's going. You don't say, psst, hold it. No. Don't treat it with contempt. Don't look and despise prophetic giftings. Don't quench it, and neither do you despise it. You may not be able to quench it, but you... All this fake prophecy. Is it easy like that? Is it not this God that just quarreled me before we came up the stairs? Amen. Leave it. Fake. That's how I knew it was fake now. How can someone who has quarreled... Do you know? That girl is owing me. Prophecy, my foot. And I'm telling you very directly that it is not God's will for you to think like that. It's ignorance that makes you say that. Remember I said it at the beginning. You think a cup must be perfectly clean before someone drinks water from it. You haven't seen someone that's dying from thirst. They'll drink with their dirty hands. They'll drink with anything. A scoop for having a bath. They'll use anything. The Lord pours, and this is a side comment. How could soldiers, how could Saul prophesy? We just saw it. How could Saul prophesy? A wicked Saul that came there to kill David. How could he? So when you read the Bible, it does more than just tell you three things. It should change how you think. All your cliches, all these things you say tritely. Oh, God can never use a dirty vessel. God can never, the Spirit of God can never come upon. No, stop. You didn't get that from the Bible. Whatever you're thinking, you didn't get it from scriptures. You think it's right because it seems sensible from your realm. But from the realm of the Spirit of God can come on a donkey. All you have to do is remember that. What business has an animal to talk? What business has a fish to swallow and vomit? A fish is known for tummy problems. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
God can do anything. So, the Spirit of God came upon even Saul, and he walked along prophesying until he came to Naioth in Ramah. Then his own was worse than the other prison. He stripped off his robes and also prophesied before Samuel, and he collapsed and lay naked all that day and night. That the Spirit did not lift. Thank God, you know, we've had meetings where people are under the power of God for long periods and it doesn't lift. We've had meetings where people got baptized in the Holy Spirit and they couldn't speak English for a while. You have to send them home with people because they couldn't, for hours, they can't speak English. They open their mouths to say anything. But I've seen people start crying, weeping, like, because they are wondering, how am I going to go home? I can't speak English. I can't speak English. The Spirit of God, but his own was worse. They had meetings where at the end of the meeting, people couldn't walk. People were going and their legs stopped functioning. So they have to carry them back to the hall and drop them. Because their legs said, where they go? And they're leaving. Oh. Remember one guy just hugging the pillar of the gate. Not here, the warehouse. I don't know if that was her first day or second. Poor girl. She came briefly. Came with favor or two. But that's before she got married. Who was that? I was hugging the pillar of the gate then. I was wondering, Holy Spirit, why didn't you do this when they were in the hall? What is this? So they left, they've walked. I was still in the hall and I'm seeing them bringing back people. Some of them were not small people. Kai. Heavy. Don't think of some of our heavy people. Listen to me. Now that's small because those people were still. This one, he removed his clothes. A king. I think the angel that touched him took it personally, right? Maybe David's angel. Leave my person alone. Don't you know he's the king? In your mind, you're like, all these angels are very well behaved. No. No. I hope you know angels are not God. You didn't know? Angels can see, no? Angels sin, they can fall. Abba, now do I need to tell you your Bible? The angels that did not stay in their first position but left it, angels can misbehave. I'm not saying it's a sin. Is it a sin to slap someone? Angels can touch you and you. One took a son and hit Herod. He died. Maggots came out. Don't worry, got permission from above. I'm not saying the, but you should also understand. Have you heard when Moses was told by the Lord? He said, the angel I'm sending with you, don't try him. So what does that mean? You know, years ago, I informed you guys when I would talk about the hierarchy of the spiritual things. You are the one that presumes. I can't preach it here. This is not the place. You think everything that happens gets to God. That's like thinking that everything that happens in a state gets to the governor, or everything that happens in a country that the governor, the president saw its sign and said, do it. That's not how authority works. We think in the physical, we know. In the spirit, you think so. You are wrong. In the spirit realm, you think everything passes through God's table, then comes back. Ah, someday I'll preach this thing properly. So many things to say. It's not so. It's not so. It's not so at all. I don't know how to explain it. A lot of what I've told you this. A lot of what men of God say by the authority on me, and they do things. Some of it, God doesn't agree, but it comes to pass. Should I give you Bible? Which one first? Real life example or Bible? Moses. God says, speak to the rock. Moses takes a stick. Should I give you water from this rock? Bah, bah. Water comes out of a rock. Then he leaves there and God says, Moses, come. Did you hit? You are not entering that promised land. You, with your small understanding, would have said, if it was not God's will, would they have come out? That's what happens to many of you until today. Someone comes and says, I'm an apostle. I am this. I manifest something. And you go like, anything he's doing must be of God. Grow up. Grow up. After today, no more excuses. That's not true. You don't understand how authority works. I'm a servant of God too, so I have a little idea of authority. I know you can use authority out of God's will, and it works. And people go, oh, see power. And God is totally displeased with you. So question, what came to pass? Oh, what came to pass is that the angels are assigned to walk with you. Did what you said. Why is that so hard for us to understand? That's like saying that they put a manager in charge of a hotel or a vice principal in charge of a school, that he cannot abuse his power. You don't understand. He can. A servant of God can kill people. You can speak concerning people and they die. I can kill people if I want. I can kill them and they die. They bury them. They leave the earth. I can shift people from this earth into the other side. I know. I've known that for a very long time. You won't understand now. Men of God understand. You can say something concerning someone and it will happen to them, good or bad. Have you not seen me do the good one? Almost for fun. What did she say? I should do one now. What meeting did I ask for laptops and phones the other day? Family meeting. Saturday evangelism meeting. How many people got phones and laptops after that? Raise your hands. Do like this. Let me see you. One, two, overflow. I want to know how many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I don't know if I counted your hand though. It's just still up. Let me count again. I'm sorry. Some people are tired. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I hope 9 or 10. How many are in the overflow? Overflows. Three from Gam. Okay. That's three. Another. How many? The other? One from the other class. Okay. How many is that? Huh? 13 or 14. Okay. Now, so don't tell me. Now, I won't say I've done it a lot. Now, some men of God try to do it all the time. I don't. I don't think you should take over. Take over? I don't think you should take over. I think God will not trust you very much if you don't allow normalcy. So it's once in a while, once in a, you know. Again, you've heard me tell the story. The very first time I did was money. I've done that with money maybe 4 or 5 times in 7 years or 8. And I was preaching and I had to, it's like when you want to demonstrate a gift. And I said, you think I can't pray for my, I remember I was my parlor before we even moved to the house. You think I can't pray for you to have money? Okay, watch. In the name of, and I told them I didn't even remember it. Then later I remembered one time, I don't know, months later, and I said, you people, you didn't even tell me about any of that. Because when I say it, it's not like I'm thinking, I'm not trying to, a servant of God shouldn't be, you shouldn't attract attention to yourself like that. But I'm saying the few times I have just, that's how authority works. You can use it for good like that. I can, it's like having an account in the spirit. You can withdraw from it. You can do things. But me, I don't think you should. I think you should allow real life go on. Because you can override all sorts of God's intentions in people's life. It's not every time you know. That authority works. It's like that vice principal begging for, be the principal, please. She's my younger sister's daughter, please. They've tried all the schools, please, if they can just slaughter into a class. That it is done. This happens with God Almighty. It's in your Bible. It's a real thing. Now you can abuse it. You can use it for bad. You can use it for bad. And that's what sometimes people say, if I be a man of God, then they. Authority is in cadres. God actually gives people authority. Paul said in the second book of Corinthians that his authority is for building up, not for destroying. And he was warning the people that followed him or that he was ministering to, that he doesn't want to use his authority to harm them. Which is why the fruit of the Spirit is the primary thing you develop first, before you look for authority. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 8. For even if I boast somewhat excessively about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up, rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed. And then he asked them later on at the end, last chapter. He said, should I come to you? He said, this is the third time. Second time, come to you. Should I come to you with a rod or a spirit of love? Should I? He was literally asking them, should I come with a cane? 13 verse 10. This is why I write these things while absent, so that when I am present, I will not need to be severe in my use of the authority that the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. Now, because I got these things into my heart and soul for a long time, this is why I tell young people, don't want authority yet. I am not in support of servants of God that teach you to go around spending hours praying, stirring up power endlessly so you can use. Your lack of discipline in basic life, you're going to cause harm. You're going to tear down things. And on judgment day, you give account because you don't understand. I never feel bad about the fact that I got born again 35 years ago. and I began ministry in a full part time. Well, I can't say I began ministry. I've been ministering since I was in university. 20 something years ago. Let's say about 26 years ago. I've done ministry from the university level, but low key, not in the man of God way. I was a fellowship, this and that, and president and all those things. I've been around leadership, but I would draw back and not draw back. I would just go on as God guided me. I didn't put myself out. To do that sometimes, again, all you have to do is hang out with other man of God types. I didn't. You know, if you're president of a fellowship, they call you Papa and all of that. All of that was around me, but I did not dwell. God helped me. I sat in the Word for a lot. So I wasn't like my peers. My peers were greeting themselves. They were all doing all of that. I was amused at their. I didn't hang. I guess, you know, when you're not listening to certain kinds of preachers, you're not, you know. And the same. And also, if they stumbled, I wasn't stumbling most of their kinds of stumbles too, because I simply didn't place myself in that path. And therefore, for years, going to work in the corporate sector, you know, finishing my education, those different things. Just being like a normal person, teaching Bible study. If I'm in a church, I'll serve wherever I am. You know, I'll just serve how I'll make myself available for service. But there are seasons God did not give me anything to do, like youth service. I'm fine. I'm not thrusting myself as I'm not trying to. You do what God wants when He wants. All those things contributed to it being that when the day came, part in 2010, and He says, build me a house. And we began towards the end of the year to have church meetings in my parlor. Never invited anybody. They just, whoever came. Few people. I didn't do anything. I was working a job that kept me very busy too. You know, until 2015, 16, when it became full time. That's why most things I'll count from 2016. So from 2016 to this time, about 7 years plus. This is the time I've said, you know, I got to experience many more things, understood more of authority. Anything you keep doing, anything you do a lot, you get better and you understand it better. But why did I start telling this story? All those years from 1995, especially 1998, the one thing I did a lot was study the scriptures. So that foundation, study and practice, as opposed to walking in authority, you are learning the ways of the Spirit. You are not practicing it much. I mean, as I walk, I would sit in my office and I could be praying for someone and casting out a demon across the table in my office. So I could do that, pray for someone, they're healed. As a lawyer, as a manager, as a whatever, work a corporate, you know, in my jacket and tie. I could, the spiritual realm and all that, you know, the things I'd learned, I walked in it, I practiced it. But how often? Once in a 6 months? Once in 8 months? That's completely different from preaching 3 times a week and praying for people every day. Walk in house, outhouse, wherever you are, on the phone. This is different. You're saturated in the life. And that's what has been happening in the last 7 years. And I'm saying, if I was doing it more back then, I would have anything you keep doing, you grow in authority and skill. It's a law of everything. It's the law of things. But I'm very happy I did not. Because I've seen the errors people make without a word-based knowledge. I just give you an example. They make it in apostolic ministry. Many people that say they are apostles are not. You, even if I didn't tell you, just from that passage we read, if John was around and they were false apostles, take note, it's not John that said it, it's Jesus that said it. Jesus came and said, I'm happy with you guys that you tested and knew they were false. And I've explained false. It doesn't mean they were not Christians. It just means God didn't send them. Some of them should have been backward. Some were evangelists. Today, I believe many people that call themselves apostles are evangelists. Yes. Some of them are just evangelists. Then some of them are traveling teachers. Unction moves too. He moves at home too. And they go out and they teach the word. Some are just preachers of the word.
Okay.
But it's very popular to call yourself apostle, especially in Nigeria. I went to the north and to Jos in, what year was that? 2019. Went for a conference. Someone said, oh, and you are apostle. And I swear, I laughed. I said, everybody's an apostle. Yeah, I'm a pastor. No, my life. Yeah. So in the 90s, it's old now. In the 90s, a few people, and there was the talk of apostolic reformation, very big deal. You know, and then one of the clearest ways you see with young people, how I know typically you're not an apostle, nothing, is your age. Hi. Methylated spirit. Apostle Romeo Asai, he was calling himself apostles for a long time. He said it's after he came to you that God said, now you're entering into real apostolic ministry. Who has heard him say that? So he said it openly. He didn't whisper it in a room. He said it openly. My people that know me and have heard me preach, they heard me say years ago. Years before he said it. I've said it for years. I said many people call themselves an apostle. They have a calling to be an apostle. They are not an apostle. I would tell them all the time. I like Pastor Roman. He's honest. He's open. The others will pretend like, you know, as you stepped out, I called you as an apostle from your mother's womb. That you were called as your apostle. Why didn't you start prophesying now? I mean, if I'm a pastor, I'm pastor. If I'm a teacher, I'm teaching. You're an apostle. Apostolate. No, I've told you, it's a very simple thing. You're reading law. Or when you're 7, you already say, I want to be a lawyer like my daddy. Then everybody calls you from when they call your name. They call you Billy. You say, call me Barrister Billy. Or just Barrister. So he calls himself that, gets to secondary school. If you do that in secondary school, it becomes your nickname. So that they called you barrister for years, does it make you a barrister? A barrister of what? Your mother's kitchen? A barrister of what? You are not a barrister. You are a child with a desire. Do you understand this thing? Does it offend you? Does this offend you? But why do we do these things in the body of Christ? Because you now call yourself apostle and people take you seriously. You are not an apostle. You may have an apostolic calling, but you are not an apostle yet. Why are we so obsessed with title? Because of improper foundations. So you cool down. You might have a calling. Do you know you can be called to something and you never fulfill it? Do you know you can be called to achieve something and it never comes to pass? People read law before bar exams results came out, they died. So they were never a barrister. When they are burying them, you can't say, here lies barrister. He was never on the roll of barristers and solicitors of the Supreme Court of Nigeria. Never. There's no time. Their name is not on the roll. It cannot be struck out. It was never there. Oh, he read law. She read law. She was waiting for her call to bar. But she never became. We have to be understanding of reality. God is not angry with normalcy. So an angel appeared to you and said, you shall be. Praise God. It doesn't mean, what's your best example? It's in the Bible. His name was Paul. It's written there. Paul. He appears to him and says, I'm going to send you to this and that. Do you know how long it took before Paul was set aside in Acts 13? Do you know? Many of you don't have any clue in your mind. It happened immediately. Anything between 10 to 15 to 20 years may have passed. Can you believe it? Before the Holy Spirit said, set aside for me Paul and Barnabas. A very long time passed. In your mind, you think as he fell from that horse, he got up, cleaned himself, went, they did his ordination. No, he disappeared for years. First, for about 3 years, he was gone. He was in the first, immediately, first thing he did was start preaching his testimony. Second thing he did was disappear back to his hometown. Then, after that, he went to Arabia, likely to Mount Sinai, and stayed there for a long time, learning by revelation. That's where he was getting to know God and was given his, what you see Paul teaching, that even Peter, James, and John did not know. That's when he got it, by revelation, and thereafter too. Let me not speak as though I'm absolutely sure of anything. Then he comes back and is with the church in Antioch for many years as a teacher of the word with a group of prophets, teachers and prophets in Antioch. Then God now comes and hey, that thing I said that first day I called you, Bia, let's begin. That is your God. He takes things by order. I heard Apostle Roman testify how he was about 9 years old or so when he had this experience where he almost died or so and was told things in a heavenly experience. 13? Okay. She said it. So. But I think he also had some other experiences. Either he gave his life to Christ when he was younger. But all sorts of things. And then he would tell you how he was a liar. Did you hear? Have you heard him say that? That he could lie. He lied so badly he made his father go to the market and look for what does not exist. That he could lie because of all he was the last. He had five older brothers. They would beat him up and down. All sorts of. So he was a liar extraordinaire. Really, really told lies. Now that was a born again boy. He wasn't an unbeliever. Now God will now be using a lying apostle. Now some people never stayed long enough for that to be scrubbed. And they stepped out into ministry. Are you understanding?
Yes, sir.
So over the years you've heard me. If you've heard me preach, it seems I only talk about fruit. It seems I only talk about fruit of the Spirit. The only reason you know I know about gifts is because you see it. And all of you, your gifts were activated the most in this place. So you can't say, and they only believe in word. It's not possible. People came here who had prophetic gifts from when they were younger. Where they came from, they quenched it directly, quenched it, killed it. And when they came here, we fanned it into flame. And there's much expression of prophetic gifting. Why? Some people will say, how can it be so cheap? It's not cheap. It is fulfillment. In the last days, I'll pour my spirit upon your sons and daughters. I'll pour it upon all flesh. So prophetic gifting is the primary gifting that many are meant to have. It's not for a few. It's supposed to be very common. He said, desire the best gifts. He said so. He said, speak in tongues, but desire that you may prophesy. God wants people to speak the words of God. He wants them to be vessels of expression. Not Elijah and Elisha. Not two, not three. He said all flesh. He wants it to be normal that people prophesy by the Spirit. Don't ask me why. I can tell you possibly, but it is there. It's written in the book of Joel. So you pour the Spirit. A primary way every child of God to prophesy is by praying, speaking in another language. Because when you're speaking mysteries to God. You're prophesying, you're saying things you don't know. So whether you know it or not, then sometimes you have interpretation of the thing you said by the Spirit. That's prophecy. That it benefits people and it builds people up. This is how the church was to be built up. When that brother gave that prophecy, when the word of Lord came to me in the room and said, call this meeting, so suddenly, this morning, around almost midday, and then the confirmation that came from someone who had gotten it in July, you know, and they just clipped, you know, a screenshot of the thing from July. And then that brother prophesied. That's prophecy. That's the gift of prophecy at work. Confirming two or three witnesses. Let the prophet speak two or three. The word is that I have called for an apostolic meeting. That's it. What does it do? It builds up my faith and boldness to say and do what I'll do. It builds up your faith and boldness to say, I have to participate in what God is doing. It builds up boldness to ask God, you sent me or support me. It builds up boldness for you to say, Lord, you sent him. Bless me. In every way, that's how prophecy is to work. He who prophesies speaks edification. That's building up, exhortation, and comfort to men. It's what it does. 1 Corinthians 14. The gift of prophecy is needed especially for the last days. Because the church of God is to be built up and completed. As the days go on, it's not supposed to be in ruins. Now a lot of it has been ruined. What happened to Israel of old has happened to the church, Israel in the spirit. What was constructed was pulled down by Babylon exactly today too. Babylon is a hasty place. Babylon is a splendorous place. It's a colorful place. They like music and money, gold. That's Babylon. Babylon has a habit of ruining Zion. Before Babylon owns Zion's people, it tears down Zion's temple and pulls down its walls of protection. Read the book of Jeremiah. Read the book of 2 Chronicles. Read the book of 2 Kings. Read it and you will see how Israel, Zion, is destroyed. But you also go to the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, even prophesied by that same Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Read and see how God promised to rebuild Zion. That's what we are doing. What is apostolic ministry for? It is for the restoration of that which has been torn down. As a wise master builder, a primary expression of apostolic gifting is wisdom and insight. Philippians 1 verse 3 to 6 and 9, which we have in a song, says, and verse 9, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. This is apostolic ministry. Did you see him say there that you should be able to test and prove what is best in verse 10? Does it sound like he's talking to only the church leaders? I repeat, the doctrine and teaching, and in the days ahead, you can ask all the questions you like. The doctrine and teaching that says you shouldn't test things, that you're not permitted, you're to open your mouth and swallow whatever is served to you, is from the devil, is deceitful, it is wicked, and it is false. If you do that, you're going to swallow the Antichrist and you're going to worship him. It's a deliberate thing that servants of God open their mouth and say it is the extent to which they've bowed to the influence and they've eaten the food of Babylon. They've sat at the king of Babylon's table and it has corrupted their flesh and it has changed them. And amongst the reasons it happened to them is that they said it could never happen to them. But the instruction was, let him who thinks he stands take his lest he fall. This is the church. This is Paul praying for a church and praying that they should abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that maybe they may be able to test. What do you need to be able to test? You need knowledge and depth of insight. Not shallow insight. You need depth. Another word for insight is what? Understanding. The more deep your understanding, the more you can test. So if you're wondering, how did that church in Revelations 2, how many of you were wondering how they tested? How many of you wondered when I showed you that the church tested? This is your answer. What they did is that they grew in knowledge and depth of insight. Knowledge and depth of insight. Therefore, why do you think the devil fights churches where they study the word and seek knowledge and depth of insight? Why do you like it shallow? 35 minutes. Let's not waste any time here. Write down, today we are looking at the 7 ways to be a man of impact. And then I spit it out. 5 minutes. Number 1. Number 2, you can never have depth of insight. You may have some knowledge, but this says here, I want your love to abound what? More. Not just more. More and more. Does this sound small? I want much knowledge. You need a lot of knowledge. You need not just insight, understanding. You need depth in your insight. And then after that, you're able to test. You can check it. That means they've told you about these books. They tell you, listen, the fake one. Who has ever had some training in? Who knows where to buy material in Abba? Where? This girl said Aria. This guy said Aria. Where's Elvis Ariwode? Where's my wife? Where do you buy material? Where is, okay. Ask and open the, don't be dull. Where do you buy material? In about the primary place, the best place to buy it. She said, shopping center, Chero. Where did that Elvis Eriwo take the way? Is he? Elvis, you have not, we are talking to you. Don't waste my time. Where's the best place to buy material? Cheapest and best. These people say, area. Look at me. I'm here. I know. Meanwhile, I was preaching. Oh. But look at what I... Area is for other things. That cannot be... That's not the good place. Shopping center. Is that an area? It's not an area. So you don't know what you're talking about. It's not in area. You don't even... There are parts in about... Let me tell you. Hey, see the things I know. Not that I've gone there more than once or twice. I didn't go to buy. I don't know. I have family, okay? I have family. So I have a mother. I have people who grow up. Listen, there are places in Aba. They sell clothes here. These people go behind. They go in and buy it and come out and stand here and sell to you. If you knew and walked past them and just entered there, they are making a profit off your head. Just your ignorance is good. Because these people so don't need to go, they don't travel to go and get things to sell. They just go behind, collect, sell to you here, then go back behind. So they don't need things. You could buy from the same place they buy, but you don't know. It's called depth of insight. When you don't have it, you're not able to prove what is the best. So every time you go shopping, you come back saying, I went to a bar, I got things. This word is saying he wants you to be able to test and prove which is the best. Material that you could have bought for 900 naira a year, you bought it 1,200. You're smiling because they sell it 1,500 in you. You still spend 300 extra per yard. At that 300 extra per yard times the 100 yards you bought, how much is that? 30,000 naira is how much you lost. 30,000. You could have chartered a vehicle alone. Ignorance is costly, believe me. What you don't know is costly. Abba, we've seen it now. Someone doesn't have depth of insight. Sometimes you're praying for someone, you listen to someone. Some, you don't even pray. They tell you something. You say, go and do this. And that's all. And they may have been suffering for 15 years. Insight is priceless. The deeper your insight, the more powerful you are. The Lord wants us to be able to test things like this. It is God's will that you test things. Never be afraid to test something. Never be afraid. Never be afraid to question something. Don't disrespect, but do not be afraid to test. Anyone that tells you don't test things, don't trust them. If you used to trust them a lot, keep them at a distance. They will harm you. Why? It's contrary. I've given you not less than 3 scriptures today, and I even gave you by error. Did it look like I was looking for it? How much more if I'm trying to actually show you scriptures that say you should test things? If you don't test things, forget about being an apostolic company. You'll be led by false apostolic ministries. If you are led and taught by false apostolic ministries, you will manifest a false prophetic ministry. Are you hearing this?
Yes, sir.
Now, I know we spent about an hour praying at the beginning, so we pray a simple prayer and go. We'll be back here tomorrow by 5 p.m. I would counsel, except there's a reason in heaven or on earth that stops you from coming early, that you should be here 5 minutes at a time and settle down. We are in the presence of the King. You see, as I had said, I didn't open Acts chapter 1. But we will look at the prophetic and its beginnings. I'd like you to lift your hands right where you're seated. Say to the Lord in your own words, from henceforth, may I be a tester, one who tests, one who tests. Give me Jeremiah 7, the last 2 verses. One who tests, one who tests. Help me be one who tests. No more may I swallow anything and everything, that I might truly accomplish the will of God in the earth. Lord, deliver me from just taking anything that comes to me. Deliver me from taking and accepting all that comes to me. In the name of Jesus we pray. Jeremiah 6:27, I have appointed you to examine, test my people like ore, so you may know and try their ways. Verse 30. They are called rejected silver because the Lord has rejected them. Human beings would have told you, how dare you? Who are you to look at a man? Who are you? No! God Almighty calls, especially the prophetic company, to test things. May the Lord, just close your eyes. Father, I ask that you help everyone here. Be in the class of those who no longer swallow any and everything. That we will have capacity to see, hear, and test. Amen. May we not accept what you've rejected. Amen. And may we not reject what you've accepted. Amen. Bless them as they go. Amen. And give them wisdom and peace. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.